Let's start with some good news and some bad news. The bad news is...
It's early.
Just a little early in the morning.
Okay, so what's the good news?
Today is Thursday.
What's so good about that?
What's so good about it?
The week is almost over.
Almost over.
How long do you think a week is?
A week is a very long time.
Oh, I've had a really long week.
It's almost over.
It's almost over.
So let's get back to work.
You folks ready for a show?
It's showtime.
Live and local with Monica J. on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
It is almost the weekend. Do you believe it? We got today, the rest of today, tomorrow, and then it's all about the weekend. I hope you do something amazing because all of the garbage that is surrounding us right now, unfortunately, is affecting us detrimentally. It's making people depressed, sullen, sourpuss faces out there. And I'm so tired of seeing that. I want to see smiles. I want to see people that are living their best lives every single day. And actually, Tim Rhodes is going to be joining us within the next few days. And he's going to help people understand how you can do that. The difference that you can make in your life with just small changes, even with what's going on around us. Because you have the power to change that. All right. Before we get into anything else, please don't start with the hiccups. Let's go back to the talk and text lines and check in with Chris this morning. Chris, thank you so much for calling into the program. I got the word that you were going to be calling me, and I'm fascinated with what you have to say. So thank you for being here. Explain what you're calling in about today.
Hi, good morning, Monica, and thank you for having me. I'm calling to bring more awareness to a tragedy that's being put forth here to unfold in Reno. It's the loss of what I think is a national treasure, which is the Demonte Canyon, just behind Demonte Ranch High School.
Mm-hmm.
The canyon and the adjacent open land is beautiful. It's visually enjoyed by thousands of people each day living around Demonte Ranch wetlands area and the surrounding community. It's enjoyed by myself and family and hundreds of people regularly to walking, hiking, biking, off-road vehicles, and other viewing of wild horses and wildlife. I just found out yesterday that the city of Reno, that they had blocked off the road access up to the area. And so that's why I didn't know about this. We couldn't actually get to the required public posted notice for the zoning map amendment that's being currently attempted. And now the developers and some council persons are trying to destroy this to build 79 homes up this incredibly beautiful area that should be protected forever. And as a constituent and a citizen of the community, I ask everyone to fight and oppose this destruction. Do we really need to sell 79 homes, more importantly than we need to save the natural gifts around us? I take our three-year-old up there regularly to go view the wild horses and go up to the top of the canyon. And even worse, they're blocking off the existing travel way easements, which people use to get up top of away from the canyon.
Well, now, Chris, I'm confused. I haven't heard anything really about this. Is the city council working on this right now? Why isn't it out in the news?
I don't know that much about it. Like I said, I just found out yesterday the city had blocked off the roads up by Clain Jumper Way, so you couldn't even get to the public announcement, the public posting.
Interesting.
And I found out more about it since last night, which was they tried to push it through without even telling where the first meeting was. So now they're having a second meeting, I think, in the next week and a half. But they're going to push it through, and it's a tragedy.
It's an incredibly
beautiful part of Reno.
It's the entire push for urbanization here, Chris. It is unfortunately they're putting it under the guise of, we need, you know, more housing. We need, and they don't care where they put it. But I find it extremely concerning that the Reno City Council is still shut down, so people can't go in and voice their concerns, and that they're doing these things literally like our state legislature in the middle of the night so people don't find out about these projects. We are going to be at some point left with nothing to go out and walk and hike and enjoy within Washoe County.
I couldn't agree with you more. I don't know how to put it any way other than, like, we bought our house. I've lived in Reno for over 20 years. My family and I, we bought a house in Damani Ranch for over 10 years, specifically purchased our house with a backyard facing it with a magnificent view of the canyon. And there's hundreds of people that walk around the wetlands and view the canyon, let alone the people that go up to the canyon every day. And they've blocked it off, and they've pushed this, and they're trying to push this thing through.
You know,
it's
Chris,
wrong on so many different levels.
This is very reminiscent of what the city of Sparks did with a housing development off of Pyramid. You know, these people had this beautiful, you know, their backyards went up to the wetlands, thought they were going to have that for years, and the city came in and, nope, changed it, rezoned it, and now it's all full of houses and in a floodplain. So, Chris, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. What is the name of the project that people can research?
I believe it's called the Canyons. I believe it's the Canyons. DeMonte Canyons or something like that.
DeMonte Canyons.
I just found out about it yesterday. So,
okay. Well, we'll do more research into it. If you can find anything else about it, please call me, email me, whatever you can do, and I will continue to get the word out because, you know, this is unfair. I mean, there are all kinds of things. We can start going out. You know, Fernley's a beautiful area. Lovelock, a beautiful area. We don't have to be building on top of each other. So, Chris.
No. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. And thank you for doing your due diligence and looking to see what's going on around your community. If you don't watch for these signs that pop up, like Chris, if you don't hike up to see what they say, this is how things go on without your knowledge, and then all of the sudden, you think you have wetlands property behind you, and all of a sudden, there's a development. Log on to washowrap.com. Washowrap.com. It's Washoe Residents for Appropriate Planning. And they do an excellent job on seeking out this information of how this community is changing and what the city councils and what the county is doing with developers to pack us in like sardines. And it's not just Washoe County. The same thing is going on in Douglas County. It's going on in Lyon County. It's going on in Story County. And there's a greater purpose for that as well. All right, stick around because Mark Jackson is going to be joining us. And boy, has he got some fantastic news for veterans out there. We'll be back right after this on The Monica Jay Show, your show, live and local for all of Northern Nevada. Right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk. 99.1.
And a woohoo to you, too. It's the Monica. Veronica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. So today's poll question, should girls under the age of 18 be allowed to get an abortion without parental notification and at the expense of taxpayers? Well, it's going through the legislature right now. Need to check it out for yourself. And just in case you are going on to the ballots and you want to go through Nellis and look up the information on it, because I may be wrong here, taxpayers might not be paying for it, but county funds will be used to pay for court proceedings. But guess what? That's taxpayer money. It's AB 176, Assembly Bill 176. You can pop that into Nellis. 991fmtalk.com. Thanks to Nissan of Carson City for helping bring us the poll question. Joining us right now, we have a very special guest who's been on the show before, and I'm so honored to have him back. He is the legislative director and board member of Stronghold Freedom Foundation. Mark Jackson joins us. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Monica. It's good to be back.
I am so excited that you're on today because you have some great information on what's going on Capitol Hill today. So explain.
I can't believe I have to say it at all. I'm still in a little bit of disbelief. And this is going to be one of the very first reports of what's happened. This bill was just introduced 2 hours ago up on Capitol Hill. What has happened is that a bipartisan group of congressmen and senators have got together, and it's a bicameral effort to put the K-2 Veterans Care Act of 2021 up for a vote this year. And what this bill will do is give all K-2 veterans what's known as presumption of service connection for their toxic exposures at that base. When you and I first talked, you asked me, what is my ultimate goal? And it was this. And my goodness, if we didn't get it, in spite of everything that's been going on this year, here we are.
Yeah, exactly. In spite of it. Now, for people who don't know, explain what K-2 is.
So K-2 was a small and secret base in southern Uzbekistan. It was the location of a former Soviet base that had been there since the 50s, and they'd used it to store all manner of chemical weapons and radiological weapons, and there'd been accidents and all sorts of other issues at that base. We used it from about October of 2001 till November of 2005. About 15,000 soldiers went through. Of that number, about half are sick with cancers and other rare disorders, myself among them. And for years, we thought it was kind of just us. But then it became obvious that this place, that the DOD had known at the time that it was toxic, and they had done the correct environmental reports, then classified them and hid them away. And what that caused was that anyone who went to K2 that didn't get sick while they were in the military was unable to prove that their disease process came from that base. So this bill corrects that.
Does this open the door for other bases to be acknowledged?
That has been my secondary goal. We're a small population, and toxic exposures are an enormous issue throughout the military. What this will allow, if this little presumption goes through, it'll kick the door open for all the other veterans who are themselves victims of toxic exposure. So yes, I think this can be the wedge that cracks that wide open. We're working very closely, not only with Congress. We had 61 co-signers, original co-sponsors on the House version. The Senate, we're still working. There's five. But we're working also with the VFW, DAV, Wounded Warrior Project, American Legion. These are big established organizations. I'm just a dude on his phone. So having all the backup for our small organization is going to be enormous, and they've publicly endorsed this bill. So having them in our corner, it can't be overstated how important that is.
What could possibly block this bill? I mean, this bill needs to be passed, and you're on the verge of it. But is there anything that could throw a monkey wrench into it?
Money always can throw a monkey wrench into it. That's why it didn't happen last year. We also didn't have the same level of bipartisan support last year. And in fact, since the last time you spoke, a lot had happened before this bill has now been introduced. We had a small portion of a K-2 study that was put into law via the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. And then there was an omnibus veterans health bill that is called HR 7105 that actually provided for a 10-year longitudinal study on K2 veterans, as well as adding us to the burn pits registry and the depleted uranium follow-up. But on top of all that, and those were great, I still wanted a little bit more. So started speaking directly with the Office of the Secretary of Defense, former Secretary Miller, and we got President Trump, his very last executive order while he was in office, was reference to K2 veterans, directing the DOD and VA to essentially follow their own rules. And it had the dual effect of requiring them to do something. It puts the new administration on notice. They're not certainly not going to rescind something like that, but it also put us in the headlines. And we were able to ride that wave into this next administration, into the new Congress, to where we now have a lot of inertia behind this new legislation. So yeah, it's been a crazy couple months.
But Mark, this is also going to change for the future, because I know that's one thing that I want to look at, because you and I had a private conversation that I'm actually running for Congress now. And this is something that I want to personally work on, and that is exposing these burn pits, because they're still being used. These toxins are still being not the toxins, but our men and women in the military are still being exposed to these toxins.
Absolutely. My son-in-law got back from Afghanistan a few months ago. He lived at Bagram. I've been to Bagram many, many times. I've lived there for a substantial part of my time overseas. That burn pit was lit in 2001. And when he was there just a few months ago, he had lived next to the same burn pit that I lived next to 20 years ago. This is a multi-generational issue. It's not going to go away. My hope is that when he's ready to retire, that he doesn't have to fight the battles that I'm finding myself fighting, simply to get them to admit that burning all our trash and breathing it in is bad for you.
And we do mean all of it. Mark,
yes.
What can people do to convince the legislators, to convince the House, the Senate? What do you need from us to make sure that this is passed?
Well, talking to you on the radio is very helpful, getting the word out. But every single listener out there, and I'm telling you, if I hadn't seen it worked, I wouldn't have believed it. Reach out to your senators and reach out to your congressmen. Tell them that you want them to take action, not just on the K2 Veterans Care Act of 2021, which I do want them to lobby their congressmen for, but also for all veterans who are victims of toxic exposure. This is a huge issue, of which K2 is the first. We were 9/11 responders. We were there while the towers were still smoldering. So that's why we're first. We're the mm-hmm. sickest because we got there first. But there's still people that are being, like you just pointed out, are still being exposed today. My son-in-law, same exact burn pit. He was the same age that I was the first time I went to Bagram all those years ago. So yeah, I can't wait until you're in Congress to work with you on getting more comprehensive legislation on what to do with these things. It's not that you can mitigate the risk. A soldier's job is to take risk up to and including death, but you sure can take care of us once we come home. I'd do it again.
Yes.
Just at least recognize that sacrifice.
And that's why I'm so passionate about this, because the first time that I had you on, I just listened to your story of what you went through from a podcast. But then after I had you on the air, you actually got phone calls and contacts from people living in Northern Nevada who had been to K2 and who are suffering the same things.
We have, and we continue to do so as people go out and find old broadcasts, or they find others in Northern Nevada from Facebook or whatever. So yeah, there's actually a large population. I guess I realized that there's a large military population, but because of especially the Air Force, which is disproportionately affected. Yeah, they've reached out as recently as this morning.
Did you just call me an old broad?
No,
that old broad. Yeah. Oh, okay, it's something totally different. Mark, I'm so amazed and proud of the work that you've done, and I do have to take this on a personal note though. How are you doing? Because I know that you've recently been having treatments, and please tell me that they were successful and that you're feeling better.
Yes. Successful, good medicine. I'm able to exercise again, normal diet, sleeping through the night. So they got all the symptoms under control. But just like with a lot of the disease processes that happen at the base, I have a name for some of them, but not all of them. So I actually had labs yesterday. I go back in Monday and, you know, every 6 weeks until we have a name for it.
This is absolutely incredible. But the name that you need to remember is K2 Veterans Care Act of 2021. Get on the phones to Amadei, to Titus, to all of our representatives here, and not just the congressmen. Get a hold of the senators as well and let them know that you want this passed, because it is so important to take care of our veterans. Mark, God bless. Thank you so much for all you've done for this country and you continue to do, not only for the country, because I know you're still working on it, but also for our veterans as well.
No, I'm happy to do it, Monica. Thank you for having me. And I have a feeling we're going to have more updates the more time goes by. This is the beginning of something, not the end.
And you know, you always got a clear line to our listeners here in Northern Nevada. Mark T. Jackson, legislative director, board member of Stronghold Freedom Foundation. You can find out more and be involved. What's the website for people to go to, Mark? Oh, sorry, we just lost Mark. StrongholdFreedomFoundation.org. You can find out there more there. StrongholdFreedomFoundation.org. All right. We make things happen. You make things happen by picking up the phone, by getting on the computer. Don't think that your voice doesn't matter and that it doesn't make a difference, because it does. It's the Monica Jay Show, your show. We'll be right back after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thank you so much for being here today. Wow. So much on the show today, and I do want to follow up on one thing, and that is Chris joined us just a little while ago, was talking about blocking BLM access and stuff like that. I received this email after Chris spoke. This type of land grab, as well as blockage of BLM access, has been going on for some time in Washoe County. A group I worked with in Sparks worked with the builder to at least preserve BLM access. Given the Canyons Project, i.e. exclusive homes, it may be more of a fight. Some things to consider: if the land is private, then it's just a matter of a crooked city council approving. Here's the link. So there is, I will post this on my webpage today. It goes on, I remember back when Bruce Breslow was on the Sparks City Council and Wingfield Springs went through. Guess who got the sweetheart deal on some parcels out there? Corruption. All right. And then there's a link to My News 4, and it is called The Canyons Development. So I'll put both of those links on my webpage today, so you can look at that as well. All right, it's the Monica Jay Show. Talk and text 884-9910. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Mike this morning. Wants to talk about vets. Hey, Mike, thanks for being on the program today.
Hey, Monica. Yeah, you know, if you remember during the first Gulf War, we had that Gulf War syndrome.
Yeah.
And they blew up that Camisea place. We had a lot of troops, men, women, all sick, and they didn't get any help. And I come from a landfill background. My family, we owned landfills and stuff. So the regulations and things that we have to follow, the military doesn't follow any of that.
And they That's might, what is so frustrating, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
So they don't follow safety like we'd have to. And if you look at a lot of our military bases here, Air Force are the worst because the chemicals they use, they're all contaminated within our country. Why are they not held accountable for that in abatement and take care of these problems? I'm sure Fallon is contaminated. Indian Springs is probably contaminated. Should be taken care of.
Well, remember we had issues out at Fallon with all of those leukemia diagnoses. So, I mean, yeah. We already know something's going on out there.
Yeah, Dr. Rocky, he was tasked with developing a plan to clean up DU. And his assessment was, we can't clean it up. There's no way to clean it up. He's got severe cancer now. He might be, I haven't heard from him in a long time. He might be passed away already. All his team, people are dying and everything, and looking at how do we can clean up DU that we're using all over. You know, our troops are also put at risk. You know, when they're firing off these DUs and stuff at rounds, when they're going through the barrel, they're vaporizing. They're either vapors and they're breathing it in. You know, they signed up to defend our country. They didn't sign up to be injured and then not taken care of. And
exactly.
If we're not going to take care of our troops, then they shouldn't be going anywhere. We shouldn't be using this stuff. We shouldn't go to war. If they're not going to be taken care of, that's not what they signed up for.
Couldn't have said it better.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time and those words. Why don't we take care of our veterans? And more importantly, why are we not holding our military accountable? I mean, we have the biggest budget in the world. Nobody spends more money on their military than the United States of America. So why can't we appropriate some of that money for the care and safety of our troops and of our veterans? Let's go back to the talk and text line, going back to the other topic we've had on today. Kent wants to talk about land. Hi, Kent. Thanks for calling into the program.
Hello, Monica. I've talked with Tom a few times, but first time I've said hello to you.
Well, thanks for calling in.
You know, I'm curious on the canyon development. Is that the new development they're talking about by the dam?
That
are you
I
aware
do.
Of where I'm speaking of?
No, I don't. That I'm not sure of. I just know it's behind Damani Ranch High School.
Okay, that's further south. Okay. Yeah, I saw where they had approved to build up around the dam area, and I think I was pretty instrumental in that. They, on the daybreak thing, I went down several times to talk to the city council, and they're a bit condescending, I have to admit. But I had done a study and shot grade across the whole area, the whole 1,000-acre region, just to prove my point. I had a gut feel, but I wanted facts before I presented it, and the northern half of that daybreak land where they're wanting to put like 1,000 homes or something is way below the floodplain. And when they fill that in, they're going to flood the Heron's Landing area with about 4 feet of water, and the Rose, whatever that is, just due north of there. With about 7 or 8 feet. And so I presented the data, and I just, you know, they looked at me very like, you know, you read their eyes. And I just said, you know, I said, all I'm saying is I'm on record here. I've got a friend that's over in one of these areas, and I'm telling you, you can't build in that floodplain. I said, this isn't a matter of aesthetics or cosmetics. This is functional. You're going to flood these existing homes, and the city's on the hook because I'm on the record. So
yeah, but Kent, the city's not on the hook. I mean, look at that. The people out in Lemon Valley just won this huge lawsuit, $700,000. Now the city attorney wants to go through, keep it down, and appeal it. Rather than just paying for their mistakes and getting on with it, they just want to keep dragging it out. And why people are not watching what's going on in Lemon Valley, because guess what? We are the Great Basin. This is going to be happening, which I have said all over, especially the South area now.
You're going to reach a period of time that nature wants to put water back in those lower thresholds. And what I would counsel people to do that are looking at these things is as nice as it sounds to say we want the walkways and the pristine wetlands and stuff, we're never going to win against money. That's just the bottom dollar. What you want to talk about is either environmental issues, striped lizards, whatever, or flooding. You know, you have a real shot at trying to get something done. that they forestalled after I presented the data to the city hall. They stalled and stopped to some extent the daybreak, and they said, well, they can build in the southern one-third of that region because it's above floodplain, which is what I stated. And I also said you can also build around the higher reaches of that dam area just south of there, too. And that pushed them to, and they've already approved the higher regions of the dam area. And they're working on getting it approved for the southern edge of the daybreak area. But you've got to use data.
Would you hang on and listen to this email that I got? Because this just seems to be some of the opinion of people out there. Hi, I'm calling Monica J about the guy who was talking about saving or throwing the monkey wrench in, or the outlying area. I'm not quite sure. I think the text conversion is messing it up here. I'm a California transplant, and I moved here to get away from people that save our hills, save my ranch, save our communities. I really believe that if you want to save it, you buy it. I guess this person lived in Alamo, California. It took me 4 years with California politics to build one home on 8 acres. That is what this gentleman is proposing, that we eventually get to. I think the Talcon text is missing it up again. We need to get back to where you just buy something, go for a permit, and get permission to build it if you work within the system. And there should be a system where people can comment. I agree, but I went through 4 years to the one house, and it was over $100,000 20 years ago. That seems to be a conception there, Kent, that are these wetlands, are these public lands, or are they private property?
Well, and I know the daybreak was sold, and actually, from an aesthetic point of view, it's so rare to find green property in the desert highlands. We live in a desert.
Yeah.
And so it's just a shame that they want to fill that in. But I understand progress. And even though I may not agree, I can say, okay. But I think we're opposite ends of the spectrum. Over here, you just have to light a match and you can build. Over in California, you can't build at any cost. It's, there's a line in that sand somewhere between those two extremes. And I think, though, that the premise that anyone needs to take to address it, you'll never win saying aesthetics and what I like and niceties. I think that the premise people have to look at is what's defensible in court, litigious. That's, we are a litigious nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the only reason they didn't build in daybreak was because I gave them very good, dotted the I's, very good data. And I told them exactly how many gallons and how many feet of water were going to wash over that Mira Loma street, and it's pretty self-evident it's going to happen. And if they fill in the northern one-third, one-half of that area, the southern is above grade anyway, it really won't be an issue, as far as being sued in court. But you are right. They will put that back into the courts again and again and again, just trying to appeal time after time so that they can get by with what they've already done. It's a shame. I almost feel like the councilmen need to be held culpable. They sign these grand contracts, and then they step out of the way, and all the builders go back to California with money in their pocket, and the city's left holding the bag.
The taxpayers are left holding the bag. Yeah.
Correct. And we are the city funds.
Yeah. And I just got multiple texts on that, Kent, that, once the developments are done, the developers leave and they couldn't care less about us. I mean, it's said and done. It's over. And look at how many thousands, tens of thousands of dollars have been donated from developers to the members of the Reno City Council on both sides.
I see us building northward, and the first, when I see the, they'll say Cold Springs 1500 development, I'm going, where is the water coming from? You are in a desert. You know, where the aquifer is going to get depleted. You can only take it so low. And you can only draw from the very center, because as it pinches off towards the wrinkles, the mountains, you get arsenic and heavy metals. And so it's got to be drawn only. It's only the sweet spot in the middle that's good.
And we in the north are
talking about that.
We in the north are drawing water from California. Southern Nevada wants northern Nevada's water. I mean, it's just, it's a huge, huge issue that at some point is going to come to a head, and we're going to be really sorry, Kent.
I see a Vegas thing happening, really. I think that they will allow them to just, you know, overbuild water capacity, and then they will decry eminent domain and take from the Paiutes on Pyramid. It's almost inevitable. They'll put a 24-inch line going over the ridge.
Well, look at how many laws we just have put in place over domestic wells. You know, it's a problem in the making, and we're already in the middle of it. So, Kent, thank you so much for hanging on the line and continuing the conversation.
Can I ask you one more quick one? Do we have any laws in Nevada that are like California on not allowing us to contain rainwater off our roofs and such? Do we have any of that craziness here?
We don't have that atrocity here yet and what Kent's referring to is in Oregon and other states. If you have a rain barrel, which collects the rainwater, you know, you've got the downspout from your house, goes right into a barrel. People use it for watering their gardens. In Oregon, they say that water belongs to the state. It belongs to the county that it actually rains in. Not your property. Doesn't matter if you collect it. It's the government's. We don't have that here, but with as many Californians and liberals that are moving into this state and the Democrats with control, Kent, I hate to say this, but that's probably coming up next.
Yeah, we're you know, I had a lady friend that just moved here from California, and she was from the future state of Jefferson. The northern part that wants to do away with, to separate, you know.
And at the rate,
you know, she...
At the rate we're going, Kent,
about 10 years behind.
At the rate we're going, we're all going to be just split up into, you know, we need to get back to where it's Republican states and Democrat states, and you're not allowed in either, depending on your political views. That should be a test to actually move into the state, just like the DMV.
Yep.
So, Kent, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you being on the program today. It's crazy. And this is one of the reasons I believe, again, this is my opinion show, so my opinion, I believe this is why you are still locked out of the state legislature and the Reno City Council and the Sparks Council. I mean, you're not locked out. You can watch it on Zoom. You can make a comment beforehand. That's not being an elected representative representing your constituents. That's totalitarianism. That's tyranny. And I hope more people are waking up to that. We will be back right after this quick break to wrap up the show. 2 hours flies by with you people. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
No furloughs, no bankruptcies, no debt. Nevada's live and local talk radio, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thank you so much for being here today. Going to wrap up the show with something fun. We're going to dive into the X-Files, I don't know, coast to coast. But this is awesome because there is a story out today that airline pilot saw a UFO. Again, if you don't believe in UFOs, it's called an unidentified flying object. It could be a kite in the sky. And if you don't know what it is, it's still a UFO. So an airline pilot is coming forward, just recently saw a UFO. And so he's giving his story on it. But If you missed this, I was talking about this earlier in the week, and I did put it on my webpage so you could see it. It's so being ignored by this country because I think it's funny. This came from The Sun. So it's a UK, it's a News UK article, but you can find it at the-sun.com, or you can just duck, duck, go. Pentagon admits that it has been testing wreckage from UFO crashes and findings may change our lives forever. This is real, people. This is from the Pentagon. Do you feel like the government's lied to you? So why is this just coming out now? Because it got slipped through in December of 2016 as a file request, a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request. And believe it or not, they actually answered it. So it's from the Defense Intelligence Agency. If you want to see the story, you can check it out for yourself on my webpage, 991fmtalk.com. Just click on schedules and click on weekdays, then click on my photo. Everything is listed from show days now, so I try to keep it nice and tight for you so you can find the information that I've talked about. Have a great day. Keep looking to the skies and, I don't know, praying for salvation. Love you. Have a great day, and I'll be back tomorrow with more fun stuff.